this is my last time in a closet this week, so I'm moving into my
what?
Yeah, I'm moving into an office actually to record. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fancy.
It's not fancy. It's just me and my wife had organized a room to be our office, and so I'll no longer be in a closet.
Oh, but I feel like everything's changing up because now I'm in New York City, and you're going to come out of your closet. I hope we can make the same magic.
I'm hoping we make the same magic, too. I got to tell you guys something. I got two things to tell you guys.
You don't have anything to say to me now that I'm across the country. There's nothing you want to warm up with. You just want to move on to some story about how your kid hit a goal.
First of all... I wasn't going to talk about my kid.
You don't hit
second
a goal.
Of all, second of all.
You don't hit you don't, a goal.
No. Well, no, you don't. You kick it.
Yeah.
You make it.
Yeah.
It's,
you don't
it's
hit
just
it.
Those things. I got to tell you, man, sometime last week, my best friend got nominated for an Emmy.
Hey!
And it was like, what the... Refrigerator?
I know. I can't believe it. Ooh. I can't believe it.
Dude.
You can't? I can believe it. That
Thank
episode
you.
Was amazing.
Donald, it's it was okay. about me. It was about me. It all circled back and it was about me. No, I'm really, really, really thrilled. I have to say, I will, you know, usually with those awards things, they wake you up at the crack of dawn because they come out so early. And when I didn't get a call, I was like, oh, darn. I really was excited about it. And then I woke up and I was reading the phone like, oh no, they don't get announced till 8:30 in the morning. And so I was like, I'm still in it. And no, I was thrilled. I was thrilled. I was running around and I got to go to dinner with Bill and Brett and Hannah from the show who were in town for the premiere. Joelle, you went to the premiere. Did you have fun?
I had a blast. Let me tell you, Apple throws a party.
I know. Woo. I saw that.
Woo! It was the first time I drank in like maybe 4 months, 2 hard ciders, and I was like, I'm lit and I have to slow down. Too much, but it was fun. And on top of all of that, the show is freaking amazing.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And I'm just happy to be included. It's just really cool. And I'm just very thrilled about it.
I'm excited. You know, win, lose, or draw. You wanted to get nominated really badly, and it happened, dude. And you didn't have to go out and be, like, on the campaign trail. Now you got a campaign, I guess.
I didn't.
Now you got, I guess.
Well, I don't know. What am I doing? I'm in New York City. I mean, I'm going to come out for the awards and go. Maybe you'll be my date.
I would totally be your date.
You're going to have to carry the back of my dress in my train.
I don't mind doing that shit.
Yeah.
Yas, queen.
I'm going to wear a train.
Okay, yas, queen. Okay, so that was my first news. My first news is my best friend got nominated for an Emmy. It's one of the biggest moments of his life, obviously, because this is something that he's wanted.
It's pretty huge, I got to say, because, like, you know, I really want to be a filmmaker. I mean, I am a filmmaker.
You are a filmmaker.
I love being a filmmaker more than anything in the world. And to be, you know, I was thinking about this. Not to get serious for a split second, but
get serious.
You know, when I was a little kid, I was depressed a lot, and my parents were going through a bad divorce, and I was a melancholic child, and I was thinking about how the half hour comedy cheered me up. It brought me so much joy, and you know, we joke about all those sitcoms we loved and all the joy we got from all of the ones that we constantly reference on here. And I just feel just so thrilled to be, you know, we're talking about Scrubs, which obviously did that for a lot of people. Donald and I hear all the time how the show cheered them up when they were in a dark time. And I don't know. And Lasso obviously did that for a lot of people during the pandemic. So I was just sitting there the other night trying to fall asleep thinking about how grateful I am to be a part of this community. And so how grateful I am that this thing that really cheered me up when I was sad as a child, we get to be a part of today and hopefully make other people smile.
That's well said, first of all. And I'm very, very, very excited for you and happy for you as well.
Thank you.
The whole household was like, holy shit. It was like when you find out somebody did something really freaking cool, a lot of people are like, yeah! We were all like, holy shit. Yo, he fucking did. Dude, you said you wanted to get nominated and you got nominated.
Well, I wanted to be in the mix. Everyone was talking about the show and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get nominated. You know, because often it's the pilot of a new show that will get nominated. But interestingly enough, this show broke the record for the most nominations a freshman comedy has ever received.
Amazing. Yeah.
Which is insane. Amazing. For Mr. Bill Lawrence.
Bill Lawrence, good for you, brubba.
I mean, yeah, Bill broke the record, our buddy who created this podcast.
Create this podcast!
I know, I'm just kidding. Okay. But, so I, of course, was like, oh my goodness, I'd like to be on the mix. You know, I knew a lot of people liked my episode a lot, which was the second one, Biscuits. But, you know, you think like, oh, is it going to be the pilot director? But it actually ended up being three of us nominated for the show. And mine was the earliest one, the one Biscuits, which I'm really proud of. So I truly am happy to be in the mix. I'm honored to be a part of it. I love this community. I love being a filmmaker. And I can't wait to go and have you carry my train.
I can't wait to carry your train. I've always said this to you, man. I think you're a phenomenal actor. But as much as you're a great actor, you're an even better director, dude, man.
Thank you. Well, that dovetails into the 100th episode of Scrubs that I
It directed. Doesn't dovetail yet because I got another set of news,
okay,
man.
Your kid made a goal. Your kid made a goal.
I got sick. And I thought it was COVID-19, the Delta variant, dude.
You thought you got that Delta.
Dude, I thought I got that Delta for Rizzle. And it turns out I inhaled way too much smoke while smoking weed. That's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. And so now I have, I don't know if it's pneumonia, but I have congestion in my chest and nose.
Okay, well, thank God it's not the Delta. And you were talking about going on a weed break again. Did that happen?
That impromptu, a weed break like no other. This happened 3 days ago. And let me tell you something right now. Yeah, weed is out the dough again.
Right,
out the dough, as they say, where I'm from, it's out the dough.
Yeah.
Well, again.
I think that's good. I'm glad you don't have the Delta. I went to Atlanta to do a part on this movie with Cole Sprouse. I got to tell you, Donald, it reminded me of you and me on Scrubs because the script was very funny, but then he was just asking, the director asked me and Cole to riff. And by the way, Cole has, we share Phil Lewis in common because he was Mr. Mosby on the show.
I don't know the name.
We were too old for it, but Sweet Life of Zach and Cody?
Zach and Cody. It was a bunch of different versions of it, I think.
Right. He was on it a long time, but he was telling me how much he loves Phil, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And he said to me, I don't know, you probably don't remember this, but on the season finale, the season 8 finale of the show, when Phil came back and everyone was lining the halls, he said, me and my brother were such fans, and Phil brought us to the set. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember that, but I remember meeting those two when they were a lot younger.
Yeah, well, when they were kids.
And I do remember Phil bringing them to set because then I would run into them after and they'd be like, hey, hey. And I would always take a picture with them and send it to my kids like, yo, look who I'm hanging out with.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was really sweet. He's a really, really, really funny and talented person. And anyway, so we're riffing, right? And I haven't laughed this hard since Scrubs, dude. We were coming, it was like 1:30 in the morning, you know, the crew is like, everyone's exhausted, and we're just riffing these jokes, like in this episode with the manatee and stuff, and a zillion times with you, where I just cannot get through what we've come up with, and we're both staring at each other like, you know, and you're like, come on, and like, give me, you're slapping your face, and I'm like, you got this, and then we'd be like, and I had to say this sentence, and I just couldn't, I finally turned to the director, I'm like, I don't know if I can say it, I don't know if I can say it without laughing, it was just so funny. Anyway,
I love
it.
I love it. That's great, man.
It's good.
You're having a good fucking week right now, bro.
Yes. By the way, Berlanti texted me and he's like, "You got an Emmy nomination and you're in my film. This is a good week for you." It was. It was a very good week, and I'm so happy to be talking to you guys. I missed you, and I'm really glad to be talking about episode 100. I can't believe, you know, I wrote down 100, and I was like, that means we've made 100 podcasts. I can't believe that.
No, we've made more than 100 podcasts. We've
made because like we've 100. Done special ones.
Yeah, we've done specials. So we're up there like 104, 105, 106, something like that.
Well, this is a really, really, I haven't seen it since we made it.
This shit has so many jokes in it. It's ridiculous.
And I just learned, I missed a lot of stuff, and I looked on Scrubs.
You directed this and you missed a lot of stuff, dude.
Well, no, I'm saying I missed, I didn't know where a lot of stuff went, and then I went on Scrubs Wiki and said there's an extended 10-minute long version on the DVDs. So if you have the DVDs, you better go watch them, because I directed it, and I remembered all this cool stuff and really funny stuff. Rob at the zoo. We shoot them at the zoo.
Where is said monkey?
Yeah, where is said monkey? That's not in the show.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Hey, before we even get started, we are here to announce the second live version of the podcast.
What is it called?
It's called Live Show 2, Live Harder.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that name. I like
that. And guess what? We're going to be joined by the legendary Johnny C. McGinley.
Bam.
And we're also going to be joined by another surprise star that's going to blow you out of the water.
Bam, bam,
yes.
Bam. Let me ask you a question, Zach.
Yes, sir.
What is this glorious date? This extravagant extravaganza? This
September
wonderful-
9th, Donald.
Why did
September-
you cut me off? It's September 9th.
You were just taking too long. September 9th, everybody. September 9th. It's a Thursday. It'll be 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. Everybody else figure out your own math, but it's called...
It will be an extravagant extravaganza.
It's called Live Show 2, Live Harder, with special guest Johnny C. McGinley and also another surprise guest. Joelle, I believe we'll be
It'll
watching...
be a glorious galleria.
Oh, my goodness, I'm going to kill
of
you.
Gigantuan glory.
My Lunch is the episode we'll be watching
that
live.
That is correct.
And you will see us on Zoom, and we will discuss it. You'll see Joelle's beautiful face. You'll see the fact that Daniel still doesn't have a dresser.
That is unfortunately true.
You're going to see all of this.
Daniel, where do you put your clothes?
On the floor.
No, I have, it's...
Don't get him started. This is a plug for our live show, Donald. Donald, are you going to go back in the closet for the live show?
No, I think I have to for sound purposes.
Yes, I think for sound purposes you are. All right, everybody, live show, please tune in. It was a whole lot of fun last time, and this time we're going to have even more fun, and Joelle's going to tell you where you go to buy tickets.
Okay, folks, it is Joelle here. Get your pencils ready, because I'm not going to lie, it's a long address. If you don't have a pencil ready, if you are driving or running or doing many of the other things y'all do while listening, don't worry. It's going to be right there in the notes. You can also come check out all of our social media pages. We'll be sharing the link there. Okay, hopefully that gave you enough time to get your pencils ready. So here we go. The address for the tickets is https://onlocationdev.com/product/fake-doctors-real-friends-1. Again, just the longest address. So we'll go over it one more time. It's https://dev. dev.onlocationdev.com/product/fake-doctors-real-friends-1. If you are entering this old school, shout out to you. You're brilliant. If not, don't fret. Just look right in the show notes. That's below. If you're on iTunes, you know, you can just click the show description. It should be there. Spotify, same situation. If you're not using one of those two, I'm not sure what to tell you. iHeart should also have it very clearly labeled. If you go to iHeart.com, you will be able to find tickets. Come to us on the socials and we'll be there for you. Yeah, so I'm excited, guys. We're going to see you at the live show. Seriously, don't miss this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, see you guys soon. Bye.
When's that date again?
September 9th. Do you remember how Herman Cain used to go 999?
Yeah.
Well, it's 9921. And if you're in New York, it's going to be at 9.
Oh, yeah.
999. 999. 999. 999. 999. 999.
Remembered a lot of things that weren't in this episode, and I don't know the trivia if this, when it aired, was a bit longer than what's on where I watch it, iTunes or wherever you watch it, Hulu. But there was a bunch of stuff missing, and there were longer scenes. Like you, when you first go meet Mr. Bolger, who's my acting professor, David Downs, mm-hmm. who changed my life in a lot of ways at Northwestern, and I cast him as Mr. Bolger. That scene was a lot longer, and.
Which one? The last scene?
No, by the way, that scene's great.
That scene is amazing. The first scene you're talking about.
That scene, we're going to get to that scene at the end. You're so good in that scene. But I'm talking about the first scene in the doctor's lounge was longer. There's a lot that was cut out. Anyway, if you happen to be someone who owns the DVDs, I read on Scrubs Wiki that there's I guess it must be the season 5 DVD, there's an extended cut, which you should watch because there's a lot of stuff that's cut out. And this was really special. I was so honored I got to direct it. In classic Bill form, he gave me ones that were impossible to make in 5 days. I don't know how we shot this all in 5 days or if we even did, but it has so many classic funny Scrubs moments in it.
We got a lot done. Like, there's so many jokes in it. Like, just first of all, opening up the show with Toto.
Yeah.
Now, this is like right then and there. Dorothy and Toto together. You know what right. I mean? Cox's number one thing to call you is yep. Dorothy. Right. And here's Toto, right?
And this is a set, obviously, I was just super analyzing this whole episode because there's so much, and even after I'd like spotted a lot of things, there's a zillion things. If you're really curious, we're not going to probably get to them all, but there's so many references on Scrubs Wiki you can look up.
There's so many jokes, dude. There's so many jokes in this episode. There's no way we can get to them all.
I need to get past the fact that I missed some of them, like Rob at the zoo going, where is said monkey? They're looking for, what are they looking
for?
No.
They don't go to the zoo. The kid is in the freaking hallway, and the kid went to the zoo. Like, I took a kid to the zoo or some shit like that. And Rob comes in and is like, kid, where is said monkey? And the kid's talking about a monkey and another monkey doing something or something like that. And then Rob's like, kid, he grabs the kid, I got one question
where
for you.
Where is said monkey?
Where is said monkey?
So,
opens the show with Toto.
Opens the show with Toto, okay, on the classic old iPod, and there's rain hitting the window. And now this is a one-er. The camera's just spinning 360, and then it's speeding up within the sections until it gets to me in the tub. Now, I see this meme all the time. This is like one of the most common memes people have ever sent me with me lying in there going, it was awesome. And then I go, mango body butter? And I eat the mango
JD
body butter.
JD loves living at Elliot's house, is what I wrote
it's
down.
It's very plush. He has all these slippers and soft things and bathtubs.
Everything that he's ever wanted but has never been brave enough to say in front of Turk.
Right. Or he doesn't have any money. I mean, we've established that Elliot's parents are rich. So they help her out with her house. So she's got a nicer house than definitely Turk and JD had.
I think Turk would enjoy this as much as...
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, as much as JD. Okay.
So we get to this.
Wait, hold
up.
Right. What the fuck is in the mango body butter? What did you eat?
That's a good question.
Do you remember?
I think it was like probably flavored cream cheese.
Ew.
That's my guess. I remember it was edible and had to look like body butter. So I for some reason, I think it was like not mango, but cream cheese comes in all different flavors. By the way, if you hear an incessant ice cream truck, in my apartment in New York, I have had so many elaborate fantasies of like doing MacGyver shit to this fucking ice cream truck PA system. Because if you live in New York and it's summer, you just have to get used to the fact that you will always hear. Whatever the fuck that song is.
That's not the That's Pop Goes the Weasel. The ice cream truck song is
this guy's rocking. This guy's rocking Pop Goes the Weasel.
But the ice cream truck song is.
Yeah, I think that's in the rotation. But it's just nonstop. If you live here, you're required to accept that you will hear that fucking song all day long.
Yeah.
I can hear it right now. Now I have laid in my bed and like thought like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I don't wanna hurt the man's business, but I am gonna take wire cutters. and when he's not looking, I'm going to clip the little PA speaker thing.
The crazy thing is you live in an area where there aren't a lot of kids running around. The only reason why he would need that song on is so that the kids know the ice cream truck is coming. Eddie Murphy did a whole freaking section.
Parked. Dude, he is parked at the corner.
This dude's just lazy. All he has to do is open up the door. Up the door and be like, I got ice cream, y'all. Anybody passing?
In any other place, the ice cream truck drives around. You hear it and your brain goes, do we want ice cream or not?
Right.
And then the truck leaves.
Right.
In my neighborhood, he's parked there all fucking day.
I'm sorry, bro.
Going to have a chat with him. Like, how much ice cream would I have to buy right now for you to turn the song off?
For you just to go.
I just want to. I want to reason with him, being like, bro, the song shouldn't be on all day. The song maybe once an hour at the top of the hour.
What's up with your battery? Yo, dude, what's his fuel bill like, dude? Yeah, if he's got that song on all day.
It's off the generator. Dude. At the top of the hour, play the song. Remind everyone you're here. But all day long, I'm gonna cut the wires. It's such a culture shock coming from Los Angeles to New York with all the sounds.
Well, yeah, I mean, in New York, we all live on top of each other. In LA, we're a little bit spread out.
All right, so we've spoken about this stunt a zillion times already, but it was the most elaborate stunt we ever did and expensive. It might not look that complicated to you because it's just digging two holes, but as far as OSHA standards go, you can't just throw a stuntman in a hole you dug in asphalt. You have to like support it because it was deep. So the first hole is deep and had to be, what do you call it?
Cemented?
Not cemented, but shored up. Shored up, is that a correct term?
Shore up to support something or keep something from falling by placing something under or against it. They shored up the roof.
Okay, so they shored it up.
Shored.
And they had to get permission from the city. I remember Randall telling us it was a whole big deal. So the way the stunt goes is that the stunt man, it's a one-er, again, which is just to make it one step harder. The holes are obviously not connected, but the stunt man drives the scooter into the first one. And then the camera pans, and I'm hiding underwater, holding my breath in the second hole. And then the grips were banging as hard as they could on the asphalt. That was my cue, because I could hear it very vaguely underwater. And that's when I popped up. And we only had really, I think we had two scooters, because the scooter was obviously instantly ruined. So we only could do it like twice. And it's hilarious. It really looks great.
And we got it. And we fucking got it, dude. Yeah. I can't. Now, what did you say?
Where was I?
Yeah, when you come up, you say, where was I? But you say to the janitor, hey, do you know anything about any odd underground canals? Is that what you said?
Yes, because this is a whole riff thing. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I just did with Cole, where this is one of those situations with Neil where we were just riffing the stupidest shit and cracking each other up. We could barely get through this. But yeah, I said, is there some sort of underground canal system? Because I think I saw a manatee. And he goes, was his name Julian? And I go, we didn't exchange pleasantries. He goes, that's Julian. So, yes, there is a manatee that lives underneath the hospital in a canal, and he's rude. He's not a friendly manatee.
He's not a friendly manatee.
Oh, I forgot to say, and here comes a big un when I drive into the fucking thing.
Where was I? So now we go into the ICU.
Wait, the sneaker painting, which gives me red ruby slippers.
Right, my bad.
Lines, which is eventually going to give us the yellow brick road.
Yellow brick road, my bad.
Now, there was a whole other little elaborate thing that got cut here with the janitor, but again, that's on the DVD. And then you're right, we go into Payback is a Bitch.
Payback is a Bitch. Now, my question is, what did you do to Cox? You would call him in. Back in the day, on his days off, to make it so that you so you wouldn't have to make a decision. You wouldn't have to make a tough decision. So
yeah,
so
well, when you're an intern and you're scared decision. And you don't want to make a crucial call, you he's saying, you called me in so many times for stuff that he shouldn't have called me in on, and I'm so happy that it's now on you, that this is happening to you, that I've literally hired Laverne's church choir.
Bullshit. I call bullshit right here. How do you get a fucking church choir inside a hospital behind a curtain only to reveal it when JD walks into the ICU?
Well, you can see him.
How did they know? How did they know that you were coming into the ICU? How did he know when you were coming in to close the curtain and be like, everybody keep it down?
Well, I don't know, but you can see them. It's funny. When you turn around, you can see all their legs beneath the curtain hiding if you're looking for it.
I didn't look for it.
But yeah, that was funny. And then they cut it out. There was a version, again, it might be on the DVD, but where I get all into it. I mean, I get a little bit of the spirit and I'm dancing along to Payback Is a Bitch.
Really?
Yeah. I think this version, just Keith sort of starts dancing a bit.
Got it.
Fucking Keith.
Fucking Keith.
So JD wants to get home. All right. So obviously we're setting up his...
Right. It's his day off. Right. He shouldn't be in the hospital. He should be at home. But right. He keeps getting called into action.
Right.
Very similar to Dorothy falling into, being twisted up into, Oz.
Yeah, and she just wants to get home, and he just wants to get home, and he's trying to escape the hospital, but everyone keeps pulling him back in. I laughed out loud when we gasped collectively when Judy disses Webster.
Yeah, it's just a sitcom. We're like...
Did you like Webster? We've spoken about
it. I only watched
it.
A few episodes.
I don't think Webster was one of my go-tos. I was more of a different strokes guy.
Yeah. I know I watched quite a few episodes of Webster, but I don't think I watched it like I watched Different Strokes.
I thought it was so cool that Webster had a secret staircase behind the grandfather clock.
See, I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah. Webster had his own little secret back staircase behind. I don't know why he had this or who. I don't think anyone else used it but Webster, but he had like a little back way upstairs. What?
Up to his room? Where did it lead?
I don't know.
Did he ever use
it? Can you look up Webster and his secret grandfather clock staircase?
Now, because it's a sitcom, did he ever use it to escape?
I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of the show. Like, I'm way more versed on Different Strokes and the zillion others that we've discussed. But anyway... that was very funny when the bassinets all domino
fell like
down.
Dominoes. Yeah, that made me laugh. Also, I wrote down babies falling like dominoes.
Yeah,
that was very funny.
At 4:21, when Jack, first of all, Jack is adorable, but he's so multiply distracted, and you can see that Jordan Krista is holding him. And he's looking up clearly at the boom mic, right?
Boom mic, yeah.
So if you have a boom mic over a little kid's head, it's so distracting because they want to look at it. Like, and that happens multiple times in this show that he's either staring into the lens or looking up at the boom mic that's floating right over his head. And at that very end, last epic crane shot, which was so elaborate, and I'll tell you how he did it. But even then, when Judy's playing with him, you can see he's looking out the window at
the
crane.
Yeah.
That kid ruined every shot he was in this episode.
How
he's
old
so
is he
cute.
Now?
He's
got to be
know.
Like 20 something.
I don't
right?
know, but he was so sweet in the end scene with Judy when first of all, Johnny C is so good in this episode, and it was so sweet in that end scene where he's giving Carla a pep talk and he says it'll be different because they're yours, and they both have these matching giant blue eyes. I thought that was so sweet. And Joelle is saying that the staircase went from the living room to the downstairs duplex.
They had a.
That's what it says on the interwebs. I have never seen this show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, it was probably their back staircase, but it was hidden behind a grandfather clock. I don't think it led to like a secret Webster lair or anything. What about both women? Talk about something that didn't age well. Both women being sexually attracted to Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, that's what I was going to write. That's what I wrote. I was like, what the fuck? I wrote, this was back when people liked Rudy Giuliani.
Before he lost his fucking mind. Yeah, and I'm that is not a political thing to say, okay?
No, Judy, it's not.
It
that's
is
motherfucking
true.
Crazy.
It is a fact that the man has lost his G-darn mind.
He's not misunderstood. That dude's just crazy.
You can be a Republican, it's okay, but you have to admit that Giuliani has lost his fucking mind.
He's a nut job.
With his fucking hair dye dripping down his face.
He's a nut job.
He gave his press conference at the Four Seasons Landscaping because he thought it was a Four Seasons hotel, and then still didn't change his mind. Being like, guys, we can't do this press conference in a parking lot for a landscaping company.
I'm just gonna do it.
You know
I'm
what?
I'm just gonna do
I'm
it.
We're gonna do it. We're all here. Let's do it. There was a crew member on the Cole Sprouse movie who had a Four Seasons Landscaping T-shirt.
I want one.
Anyway, you know, this was around a time when Giuliani was still such a hero. You know, after he was such a badass during 9/11.
After 9/11, yeah.
And he, you know, he was. People thought he could be president, and he was a hero. And yeah. So it wasn't out of place for these two women to be like, oh my God, Giuliani's so hot.
Yeah, now it's a little out of place, yeah, especially after Borat 2 and everything that happened.
I think that there's. You can keep saying there's been a low point, but they just keep coming. So the press conference at the landscaping company was one of them. All right.
Rabideau is Elliot's intern. Did you see that?
Yes. Scott Rabideau, my stand-in, who you guys see, who you guys heard on the special episode with the stand-ins. And also later we see Renee as another one of Sarah's interns.
As another intern, that's right.
And Rabideau, they both have lines, so that was good.
And they delivered them well.
They both did a great job. And then Elliot calls her interns rock tours.
Yeah. And then we learn that
Elliot is hiding.
Right, because they all think she's good at, what is it?
It's endocrinology.
Endocrinology or something.
Because she went and did a fellowship, but she only lasted 5 days. And she's come back all cocky about all her experience. And they're like, And even Cox can't figure out how she's getting all these answers. And we learn that she's hiding them all over the place, which was very funny.
While Ted's band is singing Maniac, which was freaking phenomenal. Also, you didn't go to ass face school, but you seem to be doing a great job at that. And then you running over and giving a high five.
Yes. And I go, and here's knowing, some.
Right. And he goes, you're going to high five that? Really? And you go, I didn't know what it was for. I got to stop doing that.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, there's no reference.
She goes, am I right? And I go, here's some.
Okay, first of all, there's no reference in the show at all of you getting out of control with high fives at all at any point in the show.
There were cut. There was other ones in this episode that were cut.
So when I watched it, I was like, wait a second, I don't, what, huh? I thought that would have been a great time for Todd to show up out of nowhere. High five. You know what I mean?
There was, but, I think there was a really, there were like, this was another runner of in the episode, and it's probably in the 10-minute long version, but it's not in this one.
But I did laugh, but then when I saw Inflatable 5, I was like, yeah, you can't bring him in with that high five. You got to bring him in with Inflatable 5.
And everyone's got all those presents. Now, you commissioned a Kelso bobblehead? That doesn't feel like a cheap present.
No, it doesn't at all, does it? Not only that, that was the bobbleheads that we got as wrap gifts, I think.
Yeah, so what happened was, obviously the prop department found a company that would make, you know, special bespoke bobbleheads. And then once Bill saw how great they were, he hired them to make for all of us. We all got, you know, they weren't like professionally made. I mean, they were made by an artist who made these things. And we each got all 6 or 7 cast members.
Yeah, everybody got one.
And you still have yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Some of them are broken. I still have them somewhere. But that's where Bill got the ideas. And it was a really nice present from him.
It was such a great present.
I love this. Did you eat my mango body butter? No, I smeared it on a bagel.
Yeah, that should have me rolling. I smeared it on a bagel.
Everyone brings in presents because they're all trying to schmooze Kelso to get this heart transplant.
Right.
Which also sets up this device that you're looking for a heart, Elliot is looking for brains, and Carla is looking for courage.
Correct. Because Carla doesn't want to have kids after babysitting baby Jack.
Right. She babysits Jack for not very long and realizes, fuck this. I don't think I have it in me.
This kid's a pain in the ass. I don't want this.
Right. And Cox later points out to her that when it's your child, it's different. Because she's like, I want to smush this kid's face.
Nah, you want to smush your kid's face too. You just don't do it. You just don't do it. Like, my kids, okay, so here's a great example. My kid had a great weekend, all weekend, right? He played on Saturday, scored 2 goals in his soccer game. He's a huge fan of basketball. now, right? Mm-hmm. So his favorite team is, you know, whichever team is in the playoffs. So right now, Phoenix is his favorite team because he likes Devin Booker. He's only seven now. You got to remember that. So he loves Devin Booker. He really likes Chris Paul. He likes DeAndre Ayton. They're the Phoenix Suns, and they're going up against Milwaukee, which have Giannis.
And this is the end of the tournament?
The end of the season. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton are the stars on. They have plenty more stars, but those are the three big stars.
So you must be happy. You love this sport so much. And
dude, it's the craziest thing ever. This dude wants to watch documentaries. He's watching Kobe Bryant's detail to try and figure out how to play better basketball. I got video after video of him from when he first started playing basketball to how he's playing now. His shot looks really good. He's ripping people. He's got moves, whereas before he couldn't do any of that. Anyway. This kid tells me two nights ago, that it's my fault that the Phoenix Suns lost.
Why?
Because he couldn't take the pain. And we're like, it's okay, baby. Don't worry about it. This is how basketball goes.
Is he crying?
Yeah, crying. Crying.
Crying.
I've cried at basketball games several times.
Anyway. No, but why? I can understand he's crying. His team lost. He's upset. Why is he blaming it on you?
So, because we're trying to calm him down, and we're like, baby, it's okay. It's quite all right. Don't worry about it. This happens. It's just a game. And he looks at me, and he goes, it's your fault they lost. And I go, it's my fault? How's it my fault? He says, because you didn't root hard enough for the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my God. Maybe I'm not ready to be a parent.
Dude, that's what I'm trying to say.
Their lack of logic must be frustrating.
You want to smush your own kid's face too? You just don't do it. You just don't do it.
That's funny. Oh man.
You just don't do it. When he said that, I was like, wait a second, I didn't root.
You must have laughed in his face though.
Dude, I'd laugh so hard. And my wife laughed so hard. And then he ran away from us. No, you're laughing at me. And then ran away. Dude, this kid, man.
Well, anyway. you it's the ultimate nature nurture, man. You really created your own mini-me. Just wait till he's like, Dad, will you teach me how to animate?
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. Please don't do that. I love to animate and everything like that. I want him out the house right now. Animation takes a lot of time inside. I want him sports.
Well, you got him doing. You got him playing sports. You did it.
We did that.
Now, look, I come into the ICU and I have bloody hands. First of all, I'm not in scrubs. I'm in just a normal ICU bed, and I'm on just a normal ICU bed, and I've got completely bloody hands. It looks like I'm digging in someone's open chest cavity.
You are digging in someone's open chest cavity.
I know.
I don't think that's
medically accurate. I know scrubs prides itself on being medically accurate. That felt a bit much in the middle of the ICU.
I laughed very hard. That's a very funny. I'm a little busy now here, and you raise up your hands with the blood on it.
Now, she's a maniac, and not only that, Sam Lloyd pours the water on himself like the movie. What's the movie?
Flashdance is what it is.
For those of you who are too young, Flashdance was a movie about a dancer who worked in the steel mill.
Yeah, in Detroit or something like that. You know who the star of that show, of that movie was?
Who?
Jennifer Beal.
A.K.A.?
Bet on L Word.
Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't know.
Which is a show that I'm on.
I forgot that you were
streaming now on Showtime. If I'm correct, in August it'll be streaming on Showtime. So.
Oh, and this is where we see you have sex, huh?
Well, I have sex on Scrubs too, but this is
I know,
the first.
But don't you have don't you take coin slot?
Listen, man. Listen. We are not allowed to get into it. Let's just say there's some intimacy.
Okay, but what episode? Because I'm not going to watch, with all due respect to the L Word, I'm not going to watch all of it. I want to see your coin slot.
I'm in damn near every episode. Listen, I will tell you when it
Are you
when it
unwilling
airs.
To let our fans all across the world know when they might see you simulate sex on the L Word?
No, I want everybody to see it.
Okay.
I want to see it.
Both your wife and Amanda know exactly which episode's the best sex scenes.
Oh, wait, now, hold on now. I'm about to say I don't have that Bridgerton body, so I don't want everybody thinking they're going to see,
But Casey and Amanda, remember, they get all hot and bothered when they talk about episode 6, which I never made it to see. But I watched it.
It's not, it's all right.
Oh, it's like girl soft core.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's like a Skinamax. Is it like Skinamax?
No, because I could get off on Skinamax. It's,
Well, Amanda and Casey, they love that guy.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to see what they do this. Not me personally watching the show, but what they do to bring back that type of hype this season on that Bridgerton show.
I can't believe that guy left. What was his reason for leaving?
No, he didn't leave. He's apparently only supposed to be in the first season. Now they're going to go on to a different family. And they wanted him to come back and play like in like a few episodes and not pay him. And he was like, I'm good.
Oh, okay. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Krista's giant inflated silicon-filled lips that are hilarious.
How did they do that?
The magic of cinema. We'll be right back.
And we're back! And a rap by little old me, Lamar.
Was that too loud for you, Daniel? Daniel, I see you got new headphones there. Are those the latest and greatest headphones on the market?
Mine were just starting to peel away, and the leather on them was starting to just like get into my like clothes and hair, so I needed an upgrade.
You got some brand new headphones. Those don't even look like headphones. They look like that's a radio in that motherfucker already.
Wow, those look like, very... Are those Google?
Do you remember E.T. at the end of the movie when they're all on the bikes and that kid puts the headphones on his head? Remember that radio headphones?
It looks like those.
It looks like those, dude.
Dana, what brand are those? Yeah. What brand are they?
The Logitech G733.
Oh, I bet they're good for gaming.
They're quite good. The main selling point for me was the lack of leather and the long wireless range so that I can, you know, walk around the house with them on and not have to take them off and spy on my friends when they think they're talking behind my back.
Now, does it have a microphone built in for when you're doing your live Twitch stream?
It does. I don't use it, though. I still use this setup because it just sounds so much better.
I see. Okay.
By the way, thanks to all of y'all for shouting out the Twitch on the podcast. A lot of people came through.
Oh, really?
Wednesday.
Did you have a lot
did you
of
make it
watchers?
Rain? Did you make
did
it
anyone
rain?
Make it rain?
Did make it rain?
Well, they made it rain, and I did do a little twerking.
Yes. Oh,
did you twerk?
Dan-o.
You're supposed to call us when you're twerking.
I think I'm pretty sure I texted the group saying, by the way, I'm streaming today.
Okay, will you do it again?
But you got to say, by the way, I'm twerking today, not I'm streaming today.
I've been traveling and changing my whole life to
it's
New
okay.
York.
It's
and
okay.
I really it's need okay. to know when Donald and I can come make it rain. So please do text us on the group chat again.
I will. This 5 p.m. Okay. this Wednesday.
Now, if I come on there and you're in some wizard game.
Wait, what? When is it? When is it?
5 p.m. this Wednesday.
It's 8 p.m. And by the way, if you are a person who likes watching people play video games, you got to follow Daniel on Twitter and Instagram because he'll tell you when he's going live.
I will.
There are people out there, believe it or not, Donald, that like to watch other people play video games.
My kid is one of them.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, let your kid watch Daniel and have your kid make it rain on Daniel.
My
oh
kid.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, you got to shut the
But what game does he play? Well, Daniel, what game are you playing?
Well, right now, I just started a new segment, and I'm playing the new Super Mario game.
Yes!
Super Mario Odyssey.
Everybody likes it.
So if you want
people like that game? Everybody likes it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Daniel, wouldn't you want to pick a game, and this might be the answer, that is as popular as possible, so it's like a stripper, she wants to pick the sexiest outfit so that the most men surround her on the pole and throw money at her. Do you strategically pick a game that a lot of people like?
That is a great question, Zach. And sometimes yes, sometimes no. When you play the most popular game in the Twitch interface, you're then up against everybody else who's playing that game.
Oh, like PewDiePie,
exactly. So like if he's playing, he's at the top of the list. And then he has 20,000 viewers. And then the next person has like 8,000, then 7,000, 5, 4. And so I don't even show up at the top of the list if I don't have thousands of viewers.
I see. So you want to pick
a smaller game.
Right, got it.
I show up higher on the list.
I really think you should play Tetris because I bet there's no one doing it.
Oh, well.
And you'd be number one.
That's very kind of you to say. I'll get into some Tetris and we'll see how I do.
What game would you like to see him play?
Well, see, the games I like are very, very, very popular games, so there's going to be a lot of people Twitching them. So, like,
hey,
GTA.
Let's do it. I'm down.
I love GTA. I I love Breath of the Wild. I love... Like, dude, Breath of the Wild is still, like... I know we talked about this when we first started making this podcast. Dental, you're absolutely right. That might be the most perfect game ever made, dude. Like, if you're into Dungeons and Dragons or you're into, like, just great... It's just great storytelling, great visuals, simple graphics, simple enough graphics that... but not too crude that you're like, this is bullshit. You're like, you know, it's enough that you're like, wow, look at this. I'll tell you right now, best graphics I've seen in a game that I, the type that I like, Red Dead Redemption. Dude, when that first came out, Red Dead Redemption 2.
I knew you were going to say that. That game is beautiful.
When that game first came out, I was
like,
why don't
you stream that one, Daniel?
There's a lot of people that play it, though. Like he said, it's a popular game.
That game's next on the backlog. I had a vote between on my Discord channel. I had a vote, and Super Mario Odyssey beat Red Dead Redemption 2 by one vote.
Wow!
So I was about to play it, but then the people chose Super Mario Odyssey.
I would have been on that game with you watching it. I'm pretty deep into Red Dead Redemption. Up until pandemic happened, when I was in New York doing Emergence and Jersey doing Emergence. I mean, dude, I'm gonna tell you something right now. I was playing the shit out of that game on my time off. I would go to work, come home, and just play that game.
Can I Twitch stream anything?
Yeah.
Anything. Anything
and
you want.
Does it have to be PG or can it be R-rated?
It can be R-rated. You just can't, you know, there's no like nudity or sex or anything like that. But you can do whatever you want.
Okay, you can't manhandle yourself.
No.
Okay.
Not on Twitch.
I mean,
but there are websites for that if you want.
That's Patreon.
That's exactly.
Or OnlyFans.
Sure. Yeah.
Or
OnlyFans. OnlyFans. Okay.
Mm-hmm. My free cams.
Let me just write
another
this
one.
Down. My free cams. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I got and a side OnlyFans. Hustle. I'm just thinking about a side hustle. Okay.
That's a good side hustle.
Let's get back to the show, Donald. It's called Scrubs. It's the 100th episode.
Patrick Bolton is a nurse.
Patrick Bolton, our friend who's the set dresser, he is a nurse in the scene. When everyone's hiding from Carla.
Right before she realizes she doesn't like kids. And then, one of my favorite scenes we've ever shot together comes up.
Oh, the lesbian cloud?
Lesbian cloud.
Now, I remember this being like made up on the day, right? This wasn't in the script, was it?
No, I think we're at the point where Bill's now writing the script as we go along, too, though.
I'm not saying that we came up with it, but I'm saying I feel like I remember this. There were different iterations of this joke, and I think that the writers we were playing with it on set, and it took a while till we ended up with what it became. But the milkshake pool on the lesbian cloud.
And if they and what was the other thing? And if they betray us, they end up in hell watching The View.
Yeah, next to the unreachable cupcake table.
Right.
So in the second act of the show, after we've all established that the different things that the characters want, a la Wizard of Oz, it takes on a more like bold, okay, we're officially in the world. So the colors are all saturated, meant to like mimic the vibe of Technicolor back in the day.
It's very bright.
It's bright and the costumes are more saturated. And I think, you know, Judy, I remember, is in that like hot pink. I think everything was sort of cranked up. It wasn't just in the coloring. Right. In post-production, but also in the costumes.
But yet you're still in a muted outfit, except for your shoes, eh?
Yeah, I'm totally muted. I don't know why I chose or Carrie chose me to be in, like, brown, but I am. Yeah. Now, this body bag thing is really funny.
Okay, there's a few things wrong with the scene, too, and I didn't have to go to Scrubs Wiki to see the shit.
Right.
I remember this when it happened.
Obviously a foam fire extinguisher, and Johnny is clutching it so tightly that you can see it's fake.
Right. You can see him squeezing.
Well,
the
he's
foam.
Nervously. I was, first of all, this is an example of how someone directing and they're in the scene can fuck up because I'm in a fucking body bag. I'm not exactly seeing that Johnny is nervously squeezing the fire extinguisher, which is just a piece of foam. It looks really funny when you rewatch it because he nails me with it. And then, of course, we should have switched it out. But in his close up, he's like squeezing it like it's a pillow.
Yeah. Castle, baby. Johnny Castle, man.
That dialogue is so funny.
Dead people should remain dead.
Because I thought you were dead. Then why are you hitting me? Because dead people should be dead.
Very funny scene.
And then the janitor needs an oil can, so I guess he's sort of the Tin Man in this story.
Okay, so if he's the Tin Man, then what is Carla? If she's looking
Carla's
for the heart.
The lion, because that's courage. You should have been the Tin Man.
I guess you're the Tin Man. You're the Tin Man. It's just he's just getting that jokey line, like, give me the oil can, oil can. Yeah, you need the heart. Now, Ray Bolger is the name of the actor who played the Scarecrow.
I'm so confused.
The character that's donating the heart is named Ray Bolger.
Right.
Which I believe is the name of the actor who played the Scarecrow.
Got it.
Because if you're really paying attention, you have that awesome scene with David Downes, and you go, okay, what's his name? And he says Ray, and then it becomes clear that his name is Ray Bolger.
Okay, but here's the thing. The Scarecrow didn't need the heart. The Scarecrow needed the brain.
Then Elliot's the Scarecrow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because actually, Cox even calls her, like, are you your straw-headed Scarecrow self?
Right. Right.
So Elliot's the Scarecrow because she needs brains.
Right.
The Tin Man needed a heart.
That's me.
And the Lion needed courage. That's Carla.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Jack is the Wicked Witch, but so is Jordan.
No, Jack's a munchkin.
That turns green?
Are there green munchkins in The Wizard of Oz?
No,
in the
no
movie,
green.
A horse turns a different color because it's a horse of a different color. Mm. It's the only thing that really changes color in the movie.
Well, I don't know why. I assumed there was a munchkin who happened to be green because I didn't understand why Jack was green.
Because he's the witch. He's the
no,
scary thing.
Jordan's the witch.
No, but he's
melting.
No,
I'm melting.
No, yeah. Obviously, that's meant to bring up the witch, but I feel like because he's the scary thing that Carla's afraid of, that's the, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And that, but, you know, that's me just
Well, that's an interpretation. I guess he could be another witch. There's multiple witches. By the way, just to return to the lips, those are kudos to the makeup department.
That should look good.
Those were just silicone. Oh, I don't know what they were made of. They're probably foam. But the way that they glued them on, it looked so real. It really looked like she'd been stung by a bee in her lips, you know?
That shit, Krista had me rolling. Oh my God. Her having to explain it all while she's doing it.
Yes.
Like she could be in the room and just do it by herself and then let the action do it. But every mistake she makes, she explains it to the freaking audience. That shit had me rolling.
And the noises Krista makes are so funny when she goes, at the end, she goes, I can't even duplicate it, but it's like, that was really funny. How about when you're, all right, so let's talk about this scene with David Downes. Your acting is so good in this scene, man.
I appreciate it.
And
thank you very much.
It's very
easy to act when you got a good director.
Yes, and a good scene partner, because David
is a wonderful actor
and a really good
teacher, man.
Great teacher, and also just a wonderful man. Anyway, he goes, you can ask me anything. And you go, do you shave your head because you like the way it looks or because you're going bald? And you just go, bald. How do you say one syllable and it's so funny? You like held it back and then you're like, bald. Like you've never revealed that to another soul.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's all of us working together. At this point, I was, you look for new ways to say things. And I was very brave at this point. And I felt like I could say it this way and I think I could get a laugh out of it. And so, you know, when you're, you know, that's, it's not to make a big story out of one line, but that, when I watched that today, I was like, wow, that was a very interesting choice. How did I come up with that choice? And my only explanation for it all is like, at this point, I was willing to try anything to make people laugh.
Yeah. Well, it was a good choice. It reminded me, remember we were talking a while ago about Michael J. Fox and his impeccable timing. It's like, if you take the pause split seconds longer, I think one of the things that's funny about it is there was like the obvious amount of pause and then you took a few microseconds longer, which and then really hit the B hard. I don't know. And your face, it was all very, very funny. And that scene is just very moving and very simple. And
but even what he says though, too, I, even how he says it, though, you know what I mean? All these, why are all these people doing this? Because if you, if your son gives his heart, we all, whoever gets, convinces you gets to do the operation.
Right.
And he says, you know, these people all, I think it's something like, I'm paraphrasing, these people all want my son's heart, but they don't even know his name.
Yeah.
And that just tells you the disconnect that surgeons have, really, when you think about it, from the people that they're operating all the time.
Yeah, but then you do a very noble thing, and that you can say, listen, this, I'm going to be blunt with you. This is the right thing to do. This, that your child is not going to make it, and this heart will save someone who will make its life.
Right.
And you can say you don't want me on the surgery, but it is the right thing to do. And I thought you were really good there.
Thank you.
I gave myself goosebumps describing your performance.
I love that. Thank you. But here's a question.
Go ahead.
Is that Turk's right to say that to that man?
Well, he asked his opinion, I think. I think it's Turk's right to say if he's asked his opinion, what he thinks is right. I want to remind everyone to read Amanda's book, which has really stuck with me, about Nick's passing and the whole experience. It's called Live Your Life. You can get it everywhere. There's an audio book if you prefer to listen to books. But there's a lot of doctors in there giving their opinions. And part of the battle that she had was they didn't often line up. And she'd talk to one guy, and he'd sit her down and have a heart-to-heart, and she'd be crying and go, okay, I got it. And then she'd go talk to someone else and be like, what the hell is he talking about? Don't listen to Dr. Tim, you know? And she'd be like so confused, you know, because it isn't an exact science. There's definitely room for interpretation.
It's practice.
And of course, in this situation, when it's time to give up and say, yes, now you can harvest my child's organs. I mean, who can say when that time comes? But Turk certainly had an opinion that you know, with or without him performing the surgery, that it was time. It was the right thing to do in terms of being able to save another human being's life.
Right on.
How about still I love it when Bonds wins at the game that he plays?
Yeah. I don't think Elliot knows who Barry Bonds is either, though.
So Barry Bonds was, let me see how much I got right. He was a very famous home run hitter.
Right.
And he had huge arms, and he would hit the ball very far, and then it came out that he was on steroids.
Yes.
And they kept him in the Hall of Fame, but they just put an asterisk next to his name?
No, he didn't make it to the Hall. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
But in the record books, they put an asterisk next to his record?
His home run record? I don't know if they put an asterisk next to it. All I know is at the time he was doing it, everyone was doing it. So it's not... This is where the bullshit comes in.
Go ahead.
Most of Major League Baseball at the time was doing steroids. Most of Major League Baseball at the time. I'm not saying anything that nobody's said before, okay? The fact that he's penalized for doing what everybody else was doing because he did it better? Is that why? I don't get it.
Baseball is a funny game to me, and again, I know nothing about it, but it seems like they're always trying to catch cheating. Like, there's this new thing I read on the news where the pitchers are just, like, flagrantly putting shit on the ball.
Yeah.
And so now they've made a rule where, like, the umpires are now going to, like, more closely inspect their hats and their shirts. And my brother, who's obsessed with baseball, was telling me, like, yeah, they will do anything they can to sneak a little gunk on the ball to fuck it up and make it do weird shit. And I'm like, this game has so much secret cheating in it.
Dude, absolutely. You ever watch a pitcher and they... you know, grab the tip of their hat,
yeah,
or they lick their finger, or they rub their hair, or whatever it is, man. These are ways to get an advantage.
What about the guys who were putting, weren't they putting cork in their bat or something?
That was a long time ago, yeah. So it was lighter and they could bring the bat around faster. Only problem is the bat breaks when it's not solid.
And then you see that there's cork inside.
And you see there's cork inside, yeah.
That's so funny. Did you ever play baseball?
When I was a kid, I played a lot of PAL baseball. One year I got MVP of my PAL team. Me and my brother.
What's PAL?
Police Athletic League in New York City. One year, me and my brother, we were the home run hitters on our team. That's all we hit was home runs. And I remember we made it to the championship, and I think we're playing like another team from New York. We played a bunch of teams, but we get to the... There was one year we were really good, and they jerked us, man. They freaking bought out a machine out of nowhere. And we had never played on
the
machine.
It's so funny. I never hear of all the sports you love. You don't talk about baseball much.
It's boring, man. It's boring to play and it's boring to watch. No disrespect to all my major leaguers out there, but that shit is, you know, unless you're up or unless the ball comes to you or unless you're pitching or catching, it's a lot of waiting and watching. You
my
know what
father,
I mean?
My father, rest in peace. He loved watching the Mets. I mean, love him. Yeah. He would scream. He would scream at them, and he would be so mad. And he used to say to me, Zach, if there's one thing in life that's certain, the Mets will always let you down.
I don't know if that's true, dude. They've won a few. They've won two.
I know. Well, I never seen him happier than in 1986. But I mean, I remember that being like one of the happiest times of his life.
Yeah.
There are no. Joel just reported there are no asterisks in baseball stats, so he's in the record books. But most people consider him a cheater and don't count his wins.
They need to consider a lot of people cheaters. Then, if that's the case. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, I wonder,
no disrespect to all these Major League Baseball players out there that did steroids, because I know why you did it, to keep up with everybody else who was doing it. But
it's just like Lance Armstrong. Like, how many interviews did that guy say, I'm not doing anything? And then it all came out that was all a fucking lie.
Well, that's different. He was the only one doing the shit, though, man.
No, like, his whole team was.
No.
Really?
First of all, everybody is.
Everybody is.
If everybody's doing it, you can't fault Lance for doing it, then can you? Yes. All you could say is, dude, when you were in those interviews and people asked you, you lied. That's all you could really say.
But Donald, I mean, what's that old
it's
phrase?
It's a broken system.
If everyone jumped off a bridge, would you do it?
Would you do it?
No. Jumping off a bridge is killing yourself. These guys are trying to win money, dude. They're playing for money. If you said to me, we're all jumping off a bridge for $1 billion, I'd be like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
There's that great documentary. What was it called? About
a billion dollars.
Watch this documentary.
I saw the Icarus documentary. He's a dickhead. I saw the shit.
But I'm telling our listeners to watch it because it's fascinating. It's one of those documentaries where it starts out being about one thing, and then the guy totally discovers something else. I love those kind of documentaries. And it's about cycling and doping and everything. Yes.
All of this drug use and all of these things that people do are destructive to their bodies over time. For these small windows of creating like greatness in sports is not worth it to destroy a human life. And that's the angle we need to change. Because everybody's like, why not just do it then? If everybody's doping, everybody should do it. We're telling people to kill themselves faster through sport for our entertainment.
I'm not saying do that.
And that's
I'm saying it's your call. Look.
That's what you just said.
I'm saying it's your call. If for $1 billion, I can understand why you did it. If for for that money, I understand why you did it, dude.
I saw this meme that was like, let's just let all these Olympic athletes take whatever drugs they want. Let's see how fast somebody can fucking
Let's see what goes. Let's get there. You want to see what's happening? You want to see the real deal, Holyfield? You want to see what enhancements we could have? We're talking about wanting to meet bionic people. Let's go all the way there then. You want to get there?
Speaking of drugs, I have to tell you that now that marijuana is legal in Manhattan, you really don't smell anything but weed. It's hilarious.
Everywhere.
I passed a woman in Union Square Park pulling a bong hit.
Yes.
Freedom.
Was there water in the bong?
Yeah, she was just in the middle of the park pulling a bong hit.
I love it.
It's hilarious. But you cannot, it's just the constant, I'm sure maybe it'll die down when the novelty's over, but I've been here a few days and all you smell outside is weed.
So I'm on a group chat with all my friends from back home, and all of them, when this thing dropped, were all like, dude, this is the best day ever. All of them so excited to smoke weed.
They're just
so
walking
excited.
Down the street. People just walking down the street like cigarettes. It's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's New York, baby. We were smoking blunts before.
Yeah, blunts everywhere.
I know. I bet you White Owls and freaking and Philly Blunts and Swisher Sweets have never been more on the come up as far as stocks go than they have in this past few months since New York went.
It's really funny. And yeah. Anyway, you'll see when you come here. You're gonna come visit me, aren't you?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope to bring the kids to New York this year.
Come on,
my dude. It's tough. There's a lot of us, man.
I know you got to pay to fly a lot of those kids,
and the way the COVID numbers are going right now, it's like
yeah. Oof. Well, the only thing I can rationalize for you is that LA County is particularly horrible. You can get the fuck out of there.
Well, it's not the worst in the nation. How about that?
No, I know, but it's pretty bad, right? Aren't they going back to masks inside there?
I'm fine.
That's mandate restarted.
They started that on Monday, today.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about that big epic end crane shot. This was really cool to do. Everyone, we know I like to play with cranes. And you've got Sam's band singing on the roof. And the idea was because we were had the luxury of being in a real hospital that we could go crane down and see the end of each story from the outside. It was an enormous crane. It was called an Aquila crane, I believe. And it wasn't even high enough. So they had to build the construction, built a platform. And then we put the crane base on top of the platform.
Right.
Because in order to reach Sam and the band on top of the roof, it wasn't even high enough at like whatever it was, 100 feet.
And that's why the end shot is a high shot of you walking out into the street and everything like that.
Right.
It doesn't come down.
Well, that it does come down, but then I wanted to go back up at the end of the rainbow in the sky.
Right. Okay, got it. But that would have been... I always like when it's a crane shot and it turns into a one-er.
You mean it come off and it comes into a Steadicam shot?
Yeah, Steadicam shot. Yeah. I love that.
There used to be a thing where like you would dangle a Steadicam operator off the end of a crane. And it was so dangerous. But they would literally, you can see videos of it on YouTube. They would take a crane up in the air, right? And then the guy would be rigged attached to the end. And then the crane would come down and just seamlessly they'd unhook the dude and he'd start walking. And
that is fucking nuts, dude.
It was crazy. But now with all the advent of these new rigs that are just, you know, gimbals and they're remote heads that you can hold. So now they do it. So that's on the crane. The crane comes down and they unhook that. It's not a human being.
Crazy.
Jesus.
Thank goodness for that.
But anyway, and you'll see Jack looking at the crane because, of course, he's a child and he's curious about the giant crane outside the window. But I thought that was a really cool shot. And that was so sweet. Sam's band singing. That's a Hawaiian singer's rendition of that. His name is
Izzy.
Izzy, yeah. I forgot. I don't know how to say his last name. I don't know if you guys do, but...
It's like Kamaka Viva Ole.
Yes.
And his rendition is one of the most... I mean, you can't hate on it. He goes into Wonderful World and Somewhere Over the Rainbow in the same song, dude.
The best.
Well, that's our show. Is there a caller, Joel?
Yes.
Well, why don't we take a break and come back with Empty Bladders?
Sounds good to me. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, we'll be right back. And we're back.
And we're back.
I'm on the Kelly and Ryan show tomorrow.
Oh, yay.
Shit. I mean, I don't know if it airs tomorrow. I'm taping it tomorrow.
Okay. But soon, we'll see you on Kelly and Ryan.
Yeah, you'll see
me. That's big shit.
That's dope. What you doing on Kelly and Ryan, bro?
Well, my movie, I think, is getting pushed again because I'm so frustrated. But I was booked to do it to promote Comeback Trail, my movie with Bobby D. And I think it's getting pushed again just because everyone's jockeying for weekend space because it has a theatrical release. But then the movie got pushed. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm obviously going to plug our amazing podcast. And what else am I going to talk about?
That sweet, sweet Emmy nomination.
Oh, the Emmy nomination. I forgot.
I was about to say, you got a nice little chance at a statue.
My life partner, Donald Faison.
No.
Can you imagine I win that? If I win that, I'm going to dedicate it to you. I'm not going to talk about anybody else but you.
No,
I will just sob on the floor. I'll be inconsolable. Look at him go. Oh, my God.
You got so many other people to thank. I'm happy with it. And Donald Faison.
You know, it's funny, my whole life, your whole life, if you're in the arts, you can't deny that you've thought about giving some great award speech.
Right.
And I was laughing at myself the other night because I was like, God, what if I did win? What would I say? And I was like, wait, this is the first time in my life where I can actually think about this.
Yeah.
Because when I won a Grammy, there was no thought in my mind I was ever going to win that Grammy. I was up against Tarantino and I didn't even think about what I would say.
What'd you say when you won?
I don't even remember. It was a blur.
Right.
I think I was
Holy
buzzed.
Shit. I can't even fucking believe this.
I think I was buzzed because Carrie Brothers and I were at the bar. Like, we weren't even, this wasn't even, it wasn't, you know, it was part of the section they don't put on the show. It was, you know, there's Grammys all day long. It's like best samba hip hop album, you know, like there's a zillion categories. And Carrie were there, I were there, and we got not drunk, but we were buzzed. And then I won, and I was like, I just beat Tarantino? Like, I have nothing prepared to say. And I don't know, but this time I at least thought, like, I should probably, like, in case I win, think of something to say.
I think so, too. Speaking of samba hip-hop albums, dude, let me tell you something right now. That Bad Bunny got me going, dude. And I only understand one word he says. I only understand one word he says, one phrase he says. El culo fenomenon. That's my favorite line I've ever heard in my life. El culo fenomenon.
That's culo fenomenon.
Baby, I owe that shit is fire, dude.
There's a show that I want to recommend that you'll like.
El culo fenomenon.
I think it's called This Is Pop. Is that it, Joelle? On Netflix?
On Netflix? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On Netflix, the new documentary. Oh, my God.
So have you checked it out, Donald?
I have not, but I've heard of
it. Poor T-Pain. He went into a four-year depression because Usher told him that he ruined music with the vocal box?
Auto-tune. Everybody kind of dissed him. Freaking Jay-Z dissed him. He told all of the rappers, get back to rapping. You T-Pain in too much.
But yeah. T-Pain made it so good. So rude.
Everybody does it now. Everybody does it now.
I know, but when you watch this documentary, which, Donald, you really should watch. You'll love it. The first episode's about Boys to Men, and I didn't realize how quick their downfall was once all the white boy bands came out.
So
dude, that was for everybody, though. And the crazy thing is that a lot of people don't give props to the people that bought them. Like, the one person that I feel like deserves all the props in the world when it comes to all these girls that are out right now, from when I was a kid, from like 96, I think, Brandy, dude. Brandy, fucking every song you hear right now is an incarnation of what she did back in the day. It's crazy. You know who else is like that? And nobody bought his record? He was before his time. Craig David, another one. Dude, everybody was doing his music 10 years later. Doing his style 10 years later. It's just, it's really interesting. It's just, I'm just saying, it's really interesting. A lot of people.
You should watch the documentary.
Watch the documentary.
The first
episode's about how Boys to Men became so huge and they were killing it. And then they started figuring out, like, well, what if we just made them like pretty white boys who could sing? Like, would that be bigger? And then it was. And then those guys lost everything. And like, they're playing the Vegas now.
It goes over and over again with everything. New Edition was the dopest boy band in the world to me. What'd they do? They came out with New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
Jodeci and freaking Boys to Men were the dopest. They came out with 98 Degrees and freaking Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and O-Town and freaking the rest of the boy bands.
Yeah. The only one that's interviewed, by the way, is Nick Lachey, which is great. He's very sweet in it. And he's very menschy in it. But that's like, you guys couldn't get anybody else to do this besides Nick Lachey. They don't interview any other boy band members.
They don't want to admit to that.
And then Boys to Men.
They live fast, at least.
Boys to Men is like, their one member is ostracized. They don't talk to him. They had a falling out. So in the Vegas show, it's only three of them.
Three of them. The bass. I thought he was injured. I thought that was the reason why.
No, they're kind of cryptic about it, but they don't like him no more.
It's like Bobby Brown and New Edition. Y'all don't know about that shit. Y'all don't know why Johnny Gill joined New Edition. Y'all don't know that. Y'all don't know.
Why are you yelling at us?
Because. And the rap by little old. Is that what you put on to calm me down? And the rap by little old me in the mom.
When you get too worked up, I do the clap.
Because automatically I'll be like, I'm sick and tired of this. And the rap by little old me in the mom.
All right, let's bring in the caller, please, guys.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Give it up for Jared Campbell!
It has been a dream of mine to hear the Oprah voice say my name.
Oh, well, it just happened, Jared. It happened.
It's been a dream of mine for Oprah to say my name, too.
Jared, it's probably been a dream of yours to be on the show and hear some of these pad sounds. Like,
you honor me. You honor me.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Jared, you're our very first guest since I moved to New York, and the show has a lively feeling. This is the 100th episode of Scrubs.
Oh, wow. I am honored to be on the 100th episode. That's awesome.
You honor me. You honor me.
You're not on the 100th episode of the podcast. You're on the 100th episode of Scrubs.
Yes, which was the Wizard of Oz episode, as you recall. That's the one we're talking about today. And you have an eagle shirt on, which looks very dapper on you. Eagle.
Thank you.
I'm riding Donald. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Indiana, here city. I come.
Do you know anything about Indianapolis, Donald?
I'm going back to Indiana. Yeah, Jackson 5.
Okay. I was there once. I don't really have any
memories. I was in Nap. I've been in Nap before.
They got sweet dunes there.
Dunes?
Yes.
Yeah, they're like little sand hills, but they're big, but not mountainous, but large enough that you can climb them.
What is Indianapolis known for, other than the 500?
Pretty much that.
Okay.
The Jackson 5.
Okay, yes. And the Jackson 5.
Okay. They're from Northeast Indiana. Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana. That's
Gary,
right.
Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. Let me say it once again.
What's that from?
It's from The Music Man, Donald.
So there you go. Indiana's known for The Music Man, too.
Well, that's Gary, not Indianapolis.
Indiana is in a lot of songs.
Who are you waving to, Jared?
I'm sorry. That was my boss leaving the office.
Oh, does he know that you're
This is Jared's America's... first day at a new job.
Oh, really?
It is my first day at a new job, yes.
What's the job?
I see there's... not know
What's
the why I'm on the computer right now.
What's the job?
I'm an accountant at a luxury apartment developer.
Okay. Do you like the job thus far?
Yeah. Today was mostly just, you know, training stuff, but I've worked in the industry before. So yeah, I think I'm going to like it.
Did you meet the asshole yet? There's always an asshole.
Not yet. Does that mean I'm the asshole?
No. I can tell you're not an asshole, but there's going to be a day this week where you're going to think of me and you're going to go, oh, Zach's right. It's Jan.
Right. Or it's, why'd you go Jan from The Office? Why'd you go Jan from The Office?
I don't know. I just went with the first name that came into my head. Jan.
Jan from The Office. That automatically makes you say from
it's
The Office.
Jan who thinks I'm stealing her fucking oatmeal out of the fridge. I don't want your fucking oatmeal, Jan.
Somebody's probably just tossed it in the trash.
Yeah. Calm down, Jan. All right. So do you have a question for us, Jared?
Nobody drank your Diet Coke, Jan. Please.
Yeah. Calm the fuck down, Jan. I'm not flushing tampons in the toilet. Jared, what are you supposed to do if you're not supposed to flush feminine products down the toilet? What are you supposed to do with
them? That's not my area of expertise.
Joelle, you're supposed to throw them in the
trash?
Put
them in the trash.
Okay. Where else I always see
you gotta,
them?
You got to wrap them
no,
up,
but
though,
I don't
first,
know
right?
anything about yes, feminine products, rule. Okay? But I
okay,
see
fair.
all the time I see, do not flush your feminine products. And I'm going, okay, what are these women doing with them? I know they're going in the garbage, but do you wrap it around a bunch of times?
That is the polite way to do it. That is, if you have etiquette training at all, that is what you do.
Now, it's such a problem that women are, women do not flush these things. Everyone's trying to tell you. It's become such a problem. Oh, God. He's going to get Casey to talk about this. But at least we're going to get to hear her song, which is amazing. Sorry,
Casey's going to be like, why did you call me in here?
It's okay. Hey, I'm excited to meet the whole gang.
Well, did you call Casey just because you want to hear her theme song?
No, I didn't call Casey.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
Oh, I thought you left to get Casey.
I thought you were to get her.
No!
Oh my God!
Damn it!
We don't need to hear from Casey about how she throws away her tampons. But I just think that this is clearly a big problem in this country because everyone has to label their toilet. Why are you making that face, Daniel?
Yeah. What? It just surprises me that this is a mystery.
It surprises me that they have to put up so much signage to continually tell women, please don't flush them.
Fair.
And I'm here doing a public service announcement for Earth.
Casey!
Hi, Casey.
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do.
I don't know nothing about raising these kids, and that's what it is.
It's an embarrassing reason that Donald has called you in.
Shocking.
We want to talk about why, how to properly get rid of a tampon. Because
Oh my God.
Casey, I'm sorry.
Come down here. Like, I don't know nothing about raising these fools. Just, so tell me what to do. Jared, you haven't heard that yet. That's our new
throwing away tampons.
I have not heard that yet.
That's our new Casey theme song that hasn't aired yet. What?
Casey's going to think I'm the reason why this question is.
No, yeah, Casey has nothing to do with Jared.
Not Jared.
Okay, Jared, are you trying to learn how to take it out of someone?
No! No!
Oh.
Casey, Jared accidentally put a tampon in his butt, and he doesn't know how to get it out. All right, no, Casey, listen. I'm really asking because I'm in New York City, and every public toilet or every restaurant toilet has a sign begging people, please do not flush your tampons. Yeah. And I'm finally asking as a man who knows nothing about this, why are so many women doing this, and what's the correct way? You wrap it up in toilet paper and then put it in the garbage.
Yes, that's what you're supposed to do, but sometimes people are lazy. And I'll be honest, touching those the trash can in the bathroom it's the kind where you have to push it to open.
Yeah, gross.
And who wants to touch that after you know everybody's bloody tampon has gone in there?
Right.
Right? Think about that.
So what do you do? So you got to wrap it up.
You know what? I wrap it up. This is so gross. I wrap it up and then I use my foot and I kick the door open and then I throw it in there. And if I miss, I miss.
Wait, you don't pick it up if it hits the ground?
No, I'll pick it up.
Oh, I'm about to say, damn, that's...
Sometimes.
All right. Well, ladies.
No, I'm kidding.
Ladies, you're hearing it.
That
from
would make
Casey.
The women's bathroom dirtier than the men's bathroom.
No, of course I pick it up.
Okay, because the men's bathroom's really dirty.
The men's bathroom is so gross. Why can't men piss in a urinal? Why does it piss everywhere?
Exactly.
A fair question.
There's a restaurant.
It doesn't even have to be a urinal. Come look at one of my bathrooms in my house.
Do you know I don't know if we talked about this before, but in urinals these days, they put a little target for men because.
Yeah.
If there's a little something to aim at, sometimes it's a fly, a pretend fly or something. But if they give men a little something to aim at, then they're less likely to splatter.
Maybe they need to put a vagina on it.
Oh shit! Jeez, that's my wife, y'all. That's my wife, y'all.
You won't miss then, will you, babe?
I'll hit that shit every time.
Jared, I'm sorry I had to hear this. Good thing you're not broadcasting this to your whole office on your first day.
No, I'm in a conference room, luckily.
There's a restaurant called Craig's in L.A., and they did something I've never seen before. When you're standing at the urinal, you're on a grate already as you're standing there. And so any spillage or splatter goes into the grate down into a drain.
That's great.
That's smart.
Okay,
that's
smart. That's great.
So this is what I don't understand, because this has happened to me several times now. Okay. What the fuck happens on an airplane that people just lose all etiquette and decide to freaking destroy the airplane bathroom? Can you answer that, Jared?
Yeah, you got to
Jared
poo.
Campbell, can you Jared, answer that question
Jared,
for me?
Jared, you have to poo. You have to let your poo out before you get on the plane, Jared. The plane
First
is not
all,
a
how does Jared know everything about all this?
He's just a specialist in this area. We it's brought him on.
Oh, my God.
We brought him on because he's a specialist in public urination and pooping.
Oh, Jared, I'm sorry.
Jared, I'm so...
It's okay.
All right, we got to get back on topic, Casey. Okay. You got to get out of here.
All right, I'll tell you about the bathroom, though. On the airplane, it's because no one wants to touch anything, so they're all trying to pee and poo.
Yeah, but I seen shit like all on the back of the thing.
Yeah, because they're not sitting on the toilet.
People explode.
It's just flying.
Try and get your poo out.
Horrible aim. That's
my
just
second
horrible
public service
aim.
Announcement is try and poo before you take the plane ride, okay?
Bye, Casey.
All right, sorry, Jared. Sorry you had to hear that.
Wu-Tang forever.
All right, Jared,
forever,
you're up.
Ever. Wu-Tang forever. Forever, ever.
Go ahead, Jared.
So my question is mostly for you, Zach.
I'm out.
And this,
that'd be funny if it was like, why do women... Just kidding. Go ahead.
No, Donald, I do have a question for Donald.
You made him pout.
Do or do not. There is no try.
What are the challenges of directing something that maybe has heavy CGI or a lot of editing when there's so much unseen for the actors?
Well, that's a very good question. I haven't done a ton of it. I've only done some of it. I haven't done a
I've
giant
done a lot of it.
CGI mm-hmm. effect thing. So Donald,
I did a whole movie that was all CGI except for the actors in the apartment building we were in. That not a lot of people saw. It was called Skyline, and it's if you've got a great imagination, it's a lot of fun and easy to do. If you don't have a great imagination, I imagine it's very difficult and. You know,
it really does. It really does bring you back to the most base element of when you're a child and you're just pretending, and you get on something. And you go, "It's." I just saw two kids playing in the park, and they were like literally sitting on the railing, and one kid goes, "No, I'm in the front seat," and in their minds, they were on a motorcycle or a car or whatever. It really just brings you back to that just pure imagination of and of a director going. That is a volcano that's erupting, and you're looking at, and you're literally looking at a piece of tape, and you just have to really sell it and go for it, and really just throw yourself out there because there's you're not looking at anything. Occasionally, they'll show you drawings or previs. They can say like, "This is what it's the spirit. Like this drawing is like the spirit of what that thing is going to look like, or that monster is going to look like, or whatever it is." So you can at least have a thought in your mind of what it is. A lot of times, unless it's a CGI movie, it's not stuff you need to worry about. It could be like you're in a moving car. Who cares what's happening on the street? But, you know, it is challenging, I'm sure, when it's, you know, Donald did that Skyline movie with monsters, and you certainly weren't looking at any monsters.
No, there was, we were looking at, like, when, you know, they use light to abduct humans. And I remember we had no idea what they were going to look like. They showed us at the audition what one thing would look like. And when we were shooting it, I had no clue. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Making that movie, it was a lot of fun. But it was because we literally had no idea what it was going to look like when it was done. And so, I think that's... I think as far as special effects go, I love the movie. I think everybody should go out there and watch it. Skyline. Shout out your boy Donald Faison, but for the most part, it's when it's done well, it's all worth it. When it's not done well, at the end, you're like, man, what was I doing?
But I mean, just for example, we just all saw Black Widow, and I was just blown away by how seamless it all looked. And
yeah, that looks
really
good.
A lot of times you watch movies and you're like, okay, I'm going along for the ride. That doesn't look anything close to real, but I'm in the world of the movie and I'm enjoying it. And I thought that looked really fucking incredible.
Yeah, it's when you can do when you can get away with stuff and it looks simple and easy. That's when the CG is amazing. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't have considered Black Widow a CG movie, but after watching it like four or five times now,
you've watched it four or five times.
Yeah, there's so much. There's so much CG in that movie.
Oh yeah, and, do your kids love it?
They've not really watched it. They've watched some of it. They're like, oh, there goes, there goes Flo. They love seeing Flo.
But you can, they can see it. Just skip the beginning part where
they go, how come Flo doesn't have an Italian accent anymore in Black Widow?
Why did she have an Italian? Because they confuse her British accent.
Yeah, for an Italian accent. Yeah.
That's funny. All right, Jared, what's your next question?
Well, I was going to ask Joelle, do we want to tell the story?
You can tell the story.
Tell the story, then yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So the reason she reached out to me was I actually pulled the soup shower prank in college.
Wow.
You so are an evil my man. Fraternity. You are an evil, evil man, dude.
I am.
Did it work? The bouillon cubes?
It did work. Not as well as in the show, but
okay.
So we have my fraternity in college, we had a.
What was the fraternity? Which one was it?
Phi Delta Theta.
Okay.
Neil Armstrong, Burt Reynolds. I actually lived in Neil Armstrong's room at Purdue University.
That's cool.
Cool.
Okay. Was very cool. But anyways, the third floor had a communal shower that only one person would use at a time. But it was like six shower heads in a square room.
How do you delineate like there's six shower heads, but we don't feel comfortable being naked, so I'm gonna shower alone. No one come in.
If you heard the shower running, you just
waited. Oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So I put the view on cubes on all six shower heads and, just waited for somebody to go in and kind of waited in a room across the hall. And I just kind of hear him turn on one at a time. And he's like, what the hell is going on? It smells like chicken in here. And, you know, I kind of just waited for him to turn one on, then off, and move on to the next one. And by the end of it, he just kind of said, screw it. I guess I'm showering in water that smells like chicken.
Oh my God.
And then he just comes out across the hall after he's done. And he's like, I think there's something wrong with our showers, with our water. And I'm trying to keep it together, but I eventually told him, you know, what I did and where it came from. And he got a good laugh out of it.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Did you get, you got this from watching Scrubs then?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't get my hoochless crazy response that I was hoping for. But
did he come up to you and say a burn for
burn?
Burn
for burn, baby. Burn
no, he did not. I don't think he really cared too much, but.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, that's great. Good job. Yeah, Scrubs. Wow, can you take the fucking bouillon cubes out of the shower now, Dick?
Yeah, it like turned into a paste afterwards. So I pretty much just had to let the showers run for like 2 hours.
Oh, you wasted all that water.
Yeah, man. It doesn't sound like a very good. Doesn't sound like a very good friend. But I'm glad you tried, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry to your friend.
I'm sorry we failed you.
Yeah,
that's okay. It was worth it.
All right, Jared. It is time for Indianapolis's favorite segment. It's time for. It's time
by
to
little old me, Lamar.
It's time to fix your life. Go ahead. How can we rescue you from whatever ails you?
Well, I don't have anything super specific, but I did just get married 2 months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Just kind of entering into a new realm of my relationship, and just wanted to get your advice on that.
Okay.
Donald has been married before, and he's a specialist. He's the only married one here, although Daniel could soon be falling.
You got to stop saying that.
Why?
That's what I'm talking about.
Why not, Daniel?
Because you're putting a lot of pressure on me.
Well, she doesn't listen to the show.
That does not stop the internet from them being like, so what's good, Daniel?
Yeah.
What's
okay,
good?
Okay, guys, if you listen to it, if you watch his Twitch stream, be like, Daniel, when are you proposing?
When are you posing? When are you going to put a ring on
she
it,
participates in the Twitch stream.
Okay.
Even better. Even better. Even better.
Be like, Daniel, if you propose now, I'll drop a hundy on this.
Yeah, that's what you do. Anybody out there who got real dough.
Yeah.
Get on that Twitch with DJ Daniel.
Yeah, and make it rain.
And,
if he
and make it rain if he proposes in front of you. And when I say make it rain, baby.
Yeah.
Make it rain.
Yeah, don't make it rain with 20s. Bring out them hundies. All right, sorry, Jared. Donald, give him advice. You've been through this marriage thing.
I have no advice yet. I don't know what the question is.
He said he wants to, he just got married. Any tips on being a newly married man?
Enjoy that shit, man. You're in the fun stage right now. It's been a couple of months, you said?
Yeah, 2 months.
Yeah, you guys are probably having a lot of sex, aren't you? Guess what?
Well, my parents are going to listen to this probably later, but...
You a grown-ass man. You married, dog.
True. Yeah. Still just a little bit of embarrassment, but
you don't have to answer that, Donald, but I think it's safe to say if they're newlyweds, there is copulation.
Right. So that being said, enjoy that because in a few years, it ain't going to be every day. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Anything other than sex you'd like to advise him on, Todd?
Oh, I thought that's what he was asking about.
What about the expression, happy wife, happy life?
Oh, that's true. All of it's true. Every little anecdote you heard or cliche you've heard is most likely true when it comes to marriage. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's the most fun you'll ever have. But I don't know what the advice would be. You're newly married. You guys are in a great state right now. Try and keep it fresh the whole time till you die, as long as you can.
I would say, far be it from me to give advice because I'm not married. But I think don't be afraid to work on it while it's good. You know, I have a stepmother who's a marriage counselor. You've heard me say my parents are psychologists. And of course, I have a therapist. And they all say, like, don't be afraid, and they encourage people now while it's good. Mm-hmm. Work on communication skills, and you know if someone you know who has a great relationship book and how to keep it, getting the love you want is one my therapist I know he always pitches to people. But so that's what I've heard a lot is like don't wait until like shit goes off the rails and you're like, now we need therapy. Like, work on it actively in the beginning so that you have a tool set. Like, when shit does come up, that you can fight in a kind way, if you will. You have a way of communicating that's not mean and it's not as hurtful as it needs to be. And because obviously disagreements are going to come up. It's just like a normal relationship you've been in that wasn't marriage, but now you're committed to each other for life. So I would really encourage you to develop skill sets that for communication that don't make it everything become a 10 alarm fire, you know? Mm-hmm. Daniel, you're in a successful relationship. You don't have married. Can you give him any advice?
I echo that sentiment entirely. Make sure that you work on everything. Don't let anything hang over your head. Don't let anything stew. Intrusive thoughts are purely that. They're not real. They're just in your head. Just talk to your partner about everything.
Yeah, and be vulnerable. You know, I think a lot of men are like, oh, I don't want to seem insecure or I don't want to seem weak. You know, I think it's really, really good to just be like, hey, this thing is bothering me and I'm in my head about it. And can we just talk about it? I think that that's very smart.
Mm-hmm. Jared, mm-hmm. You get one good cry.
No,
and then after that,
one.
And then after that, yeah, that's it. You get one good cry.
He's trying to be funny. He's trying to be funny.
And then after that, it's unnecessary. So I'm just saying right now, save that cry for when you really need it.
See, this is like, no, this is like the devil on one side and the angel on the other. He's like, yeah. Jared, mm-hmm. You can only manipulate your wife with one good cry. No, I'm saying the exact
opposite. After that.
That's it. I just want to animate. Baby, I just want to animate in the garage. Baby, please just let me animate in the garage. With rebels on in the background, please, baby. All right, Jared, I hope we help you. Getting the Love You Want. That's the book I think you should get because I've heard that that's good for... Yeah, I think that's good for talking it out and communication. Anything you can do to communicate better and be honest, I think is great. Well, you can
honesty,
stay on.
Honesty is truly key. You know what I mean? Obviously. Mm-hmm. How long were you guys dated before you got married?
We've been together, it'll be 5 years in a couple months. We were supposed to get married last July and then COVID. That, obviously.
So you guys have been together for 5 years. So you guys know each other very, very well. So there shouldn't be too many surprises at this point.
Yeah.
You know
and we actually, I mean, we lived together for 2 years plus now. Oh,
you already did it the right way. But you already did it the right way because you know for a fact this is the person you want to be with. You know what
and
I mean?
And you got a new job, Jared. Things are going your way. This is a good time for you. It's a good time to be Jared.
Yeah.
So be present and grateful and happy that things are going so well because I am happy for you. And really you can awesome, stay on right? Because we finished the show. This was the 100th episode of Scrubs. Yes, Jared.
Can I give a quick shout out?
Yes.
No, you may not.
No.
No.
Let him shout out whoever he wants
okay,
to shout
out. Whoever okay. You want to shout out.
I need to shout out my lifelong best friend. He was the best man at my wedding, Mike McBride. He's the one that got me this shirt as a wedding present. He also got
Big
me-
Mike.
Should have showed you this earlier. I have
always got a tiki.
From, Bahamas episodes.
Shout out Mike McBride.
Yeah, Mike.
He is in Germany right now, studying abroad. I wish he could be here next to me on this podcast because him and I, you know, watched Scrubs for forever together. And yeah, he's going to be really jealous when he sees me on here.
Well, I'm glad you're on, and I'm glad Mike's gave you all those good Scrubs toys.
Those are really nice gifts. I think you're forgetting one other person that you need to shout out, Jared. I'm just going
to. I do need to shout out my wife.
Yes!
I knew that was coming. She's actually a nurse, so I guess Scrubs maybe led me to marry somebody in the medical field.
You found your own Carla. You found your own Carla.
She's very much like Carla, too.
Does she bust your chops like that?
Oh, she'll bust anybody's chops for sure.
That's what's up.
Good. Well, Jared, thank you for coming on, and thank you for the kind words, and thank you all for listening. Joelle, is there anything you want to say?
You were great.
What?
Are you asking about marriage and relationships? That's
no,
not at all my
show. I'm giving you. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners around the globe?
While we say bye bye.
I don't know. Support Zach in his Emmy nomination. If you have control over an Emmy voter, let them know that Zach is the only way to vote. He needs it. We need it.
You're a good friend. You're a good friend, Joel. All right. We love you. And have
Wait, do you want to ask Daniel if he wants to say anything?
Daniel, do you want to promote your Twitch stream?
Come on.
Tell him what you're going to do.
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. And yes, I will twerk for you.
He might even propose if you make it rain hard enough.
Yes, and a rap from little old me, Lamar.
Oh, no.
It can't be no light drizzle. It has to be a freaking thunderstorm for him to do the proposal, I guess.
By the way, Daniel, that would be a great way, since your gal doesn't listen to the podcast, that would be a great way for you to propose. And somehow Donald and I can be involved that way. I think you should propose live on Twitch.
I'll keep that in mind.
If and when. I know you have a furrowed brow. I'm not. Maybe it's 10 years from now. They might not even have Twitch anymore, but it'll be fun.
Oh boy.
Donald, I want to get an OnlyFans with you. And
dude, and we could do some really freaking crazy shit on it, too.
We'll just fucking oil each other up, see what happens.
Dude, that would be so cool if we oiled each other. Dude, we make like $1 million in 2 hours if we did that, dude. Matter of fact, I'm gonna come and visit you. I'm gonna come and visit you in New York. I'm gonna bring some fucking baby oil.
Ask Casey if we're allowed to do things if it's just for OnlyFans.
No, well, we don't gotta listen.
I don't think it's cheating if it's me and you on OnlyFans. Ask her.
I don't think there needs to be penetration. All I'm saying is we gotta do is just get naked and rub each other down with oil.
Yes, yes. And if they're shifting, they're shifting. We're human.
How much money do you think we could make if we did that?
I don't know, but enough to go on a nice trip to Europe.
Let's do it!
Jared, welcome to the podcast.
Hit up Joel if you want to. Hit up Joel, Zach.
No, do not hit up Joel. We're not getting a fucking OnlyFans. All right, we love you. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and